6:55.
You were so early yesterday, and now you're on time. Man. I thought I was up early today, but I guess not. After dilly-dallying. I'm running behind. I'm just south of town now. I don't know why traffic's backed up, like, all down 53. Oh. I mean, no, I'm too far away, but I know they're doing some crack ceiling. I think 24-ish, 23-ish, somewhere over there. 22, I don't know. Somewhere south of there. Yeah, they got my subdivision all tore up. They've got the half mile, which I usually come in on. They got that all ripped up in one direction. And then you never know. Sometimes the streets you can cut across it on are open. Sometimes they're closed, depending on whether they're working on that stretch. So it's best just to avoid it. You know, and then it's like they, you know, everybody notices this. And I think there is some truth to it, but you know, they always seem to mess up a bunch of things in an area. So, you know, you got to deal with all this different stuff. I'm guessing it's because, you know, since they're there, oh, we'll get that too. I think there's a lot of truth to that, whether or not they intend on doing everything in an area initially. Seems like that's what it turns into, because the projects never start at the same time. The one that drove me nuts was a few years back. I forget exactly when it was, but it's like every east-west road was shut down from where I live, you know, over to Grosbeck. Somewhere along the way, they were shut. So there was no alternative. You either had to go all the way up to 16 or all the way down to 8 Mile or something like that. You know, this is crazy, but all the ones right by me were all shut down. And it's like, really? You know, can't you coordinate so that if 12's being worked on, 13's available or, you know, something like that? But no, shut them all down. I doubt it's an efficiency thing. I think it's just a lack of consideration where they're like, yeah, well, we'll be in that area, send out these guys to do this job, this needs to be done, yada, yada, yada. Not taking into account the fact that they're gridlocking an entire square mile. Yuppers. Oh, anyhow. So, I'm hoping, I got my fingers crossed, I might have a 706 Mark IIG for you. I gotta put power to it and make sure it's functional. Oh, really? How clean is it? Well, we'll see when I get it out on the bench. That was kind of why I abandoned my search. Every time I found them, they were thrashed, or they were missing parts, or didn't have the mic, or the faceplate was broken, and it's like, what do you people do to these things? Albeit they're old, I get it, right? But my 710 lives on my desk. I'm pretty sure that thing will stay mint forever.
Yeah, this is more a price will be right kind of a thing than a minty. So we'll see. I got to get it up and see what's going on.
Well, let me know. I'm always looking for one.
Now that you mention it, I don't remember seeing a mic.
Was that a generational thing? The people that own those radios just didn't care, or were those radios meant to be used and abused?
There's like two kinds of people. There's the people that they get a new radio, the first thing they do is they pull it out of the box and they, you know, and they, that little bag of accessories that come with it, they're like, you know, they don't even take that out of the box or anything else. They might pull the manual off, maybe. And then they just throw they throw it out, the box and anything else that might have been in there, the styrofoam inserts. And, you know, they're left with the radio. the power cord, the mic, maybe the manual. And that's just how they operate, you know. And there's people like me, I keep the boxes and the packaging and all those little knickknacks and everything like that. You know, and then there's, and then of those people that keep all the stuff, there's two kinds. There's the ones that, you know, cover their stuff with a terry cloth, you know, when they're not using it, and, you know, wipe every fingerprint off it. And then there's guys like me that just, you know, they throw it in the rack and put things on top of it. You know, they don't get trashed, but they definitely go from like new to used. So yeah, just different. But yeah, the ones that, you know, just pitch all the accessories or something. But I think in some cases it's just that, you know, that, you know, if the person that owned it was selling it, it'd be one thing. But, you know, when it's in a state, they just grab whatever and, you know, hope for the best. On the delicately unpackage everything, save everything that came with it, so when I inevitably go to sell it, it's basically like you're getting an open box radio. That's how all of my gear has been. Everything's mint. The plastic wrap that comes with it, I mean, it makes it easier to get what you want out of the rig when you're selling it. Same with my HTs. I save all the boxes, all that crap. So when I ship these things or when I sell them locally, whatever, it's like, here's your DX Engineering open box, because everyone knows I don't really use it that much. I play with it, I get bored, and then I sell it. Yep. No, not me. I do keep this stuff, but, you know, I do like doing that, but I don't take any great pains. You know, my stuff gets dusty and might even pick up a light scratch here or there or something like that. Usually nothing serious, but you know, when I buy, I expect to get much better deals, you know, because I'm looking for things that are, I'm actually pretty surprised when I get something that's minty, because I don't buy anything at fair market. I only buy things that are severely under market. Well, that's the smart way of buying stuff. I was talking to Dave yesterday. I want to get another 705 as a glorified desk ornament, because it's kind of a do-all, and it's like you can't really find great deals on those, and paying retail for it with needing the USB-C mod and all that, it's like, Jesus. K8, are you H?
Well, good morning, Anthony.
And you have to tell me why a 705 and why not like, you know, why not like the new Yaesu one or whatever. Good morning, Anthony. Go ahead.
A few days in a row. Look at this. I'm back in it, gentlemen. How you guys doing today?
Good morning, Anthony. Welcome back. I'm doing good. Just a little behind schedule. I'm talking radios on the radio per usual. And I'm thinking 705, Sean, because I like the ICOM. I like the POV cage I can get for it. The D-Star, I don't know. It's going to be tough for me to sink that kind of money into a Yaesu. Plus that FT1 or whatever, by the time you buy the amp and all that crap, it's almost $2,000 versus 705, which I guess I don't need to get it with the amp. But, yeah, I don't know. I just like the ICOM.
Yep, me too. But that Yaesu packs a lot of punch, so I'm not against it. I've just never been a big fan of the Yaesus, but, you know, the guys love them. They work really good. And so, Anthony, are you shifting your school or just, you know, just happens with school starting, just is kind of going to be a thing now. And did you meet up with our boy yesterday in the M3 it?
Yep, I took care of that with Fred, and then, no, schedule is not shifting. I am able to get in a few minutes later. I was getting in at, like, 6:40. Now the crew is getting in at 8, so I don't have to be there quite as early and to get the building open. My hours are still 7 to 3:30. But today I'm actually headed over towards you guys. I'm going to a networking event or some conference thing at Macomb Community College Center Campus. So I am en route that way. Will be very early, but I get out of my house early, so it is what it is. I go grab a coffee or something, I guess.
Well, you'll be in simplex range. A networking event.
Oh, yeah, I get sucked into these things all the time. I always feel like it's the last place I want to be, and then I go and I have fun and talk to a bunch of people, and it's good, but I hate going to these things. But, you know, I guess I also hate it because my dress, well, there is no dress code, but my dress code at the office is so lax that anytime I have to, like, go out in public, I have to dress like an adult, I feel like. So, you know, I have a button-down shirt on, and that is abnormal for me these days. I'm usually a polo and shorts. But, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's got to be an adult once in a while.
Dude, preach. My title changed and my dress code went down somehow. I wear work boots, jeans, and a black t-shirt to work every single day. There you go. I tend to do the same thing, you know. It's not ultra casual, but you know, we don't do shorts. I don't know if it's a can. We just don't. But we do in the garage. The guys in the garage can wear shorts when it's like 90, of course, you know. But and tomorrow I got a meeting in Lansing, so I'll have to put on the monkey suit for that. But when you say networking, do you mean networking as in it's going to be IT-related things? Or when you say networking, do you mean like shaking hands and exchanging business cards?
This is shaking hands and kissing babies. This event is actually put on by a group, I believe it's called McCall, M-C-U-L, and it's a group for the school districts. And the school districts do quite a bit of IT buying and spend, so there's going to be some big dogs here, and then us little guys got to come in and try to pick up the scraps.
Flying in some hardware, I like it. Sorry, dealing with traffic here. Garfield and 16. Anyhow.
Yeah, these guys, so a couple years ago, we did the refresh of all of the computers at Chippewa Valley School District. We did 2,200 PCs, monitors, and laptops in about 5 weeks because they were late because of shortages due to COVID. So that one got pretty wild. But you know, we do the warehousing, the imaging, the deployment, and then, you know, literally the deployment where we're putting them on desks and joining the network. So a lot of these schools need that kind of service because they do not staff nearly that many IT employees.
Did you guys rebid Chippewa? Because I bid against, I don't know if it was you, but I bid against someone 2023, I think. Yeah, it was end of 23. We got demos and everything.
So I think there was still some staff computers. We did, I want to say, the 21-22 school year, and they operate on their 5-year millage. So I think there was still some admin computers and maybe a little bit of staff, but all of the student computers and a majority of the teachers, we refreshed in 21, 22. So there might have been another batch of them in 23.
Yep, that was what we were bidding on, was staff computers, because I was supposed to go to meet and greet with my hardware and answer any questions they had. It was so stupid.
Sean must be getting coffee. Yeah, it's a dog and pony show. We're really the boots on the ground, the guys doing the work. When we did it, we subbed for a company probably similar to what you guys were doing, that acquired all the equipment and was the prime, and then we did all the work for the prime as a sub. So it works out really well because people do not want to do what we do. So when they learn about our services, they get pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm going to hire a guy to do what you guys do because I can't stand doing it.
So, Dakota, I ended up going with that Garten bow, and, man, I am loving it.
Are those still made in Michigan?
Yep, that was one of my determining factors, honestly. Everyone that I talked to, everyone that I talked to in shops, they're like, man, they're all good. They're all the same. They have their little nuances. This one might be heavier. This one might be lighter. And one guy that I ended up working with, he was super hot on the Dartons, and they were made in Michigan, and the price point was a couple hundred bucks cheaper than some of the other flagships, and so I went with that.
Did we lose Sean? Good, I'm glad. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. I was telling my buddy this, too. He ended up buying my Phase 4, but they're all the same. They all shoot the same weighted arrow at the same speed. It's just, you know, quality of life things. What's the draw cycle like? What features does it have? What's the weight? You know, the marketing's a big part of it. Like, Matthews markets harder than anybody, and that's why they're the most expensive. But they've got some, you know, they got the integrate system where all the stuff's in the riser, which is cool, but not necessary. I mean, but, you know, like you said, they're all the same, man. They're all shooting a 400 grain arrow at, like, 300 feet per second. What else do you need to kill an animal?
Yep, I went Sunday. So the guy that I ended up buying it from does it all out of his garage. He used to run MJC, I think what it was. There was one in Clawson and one in Fraser or Roseville on Grosbeck. But he's just an old timer, and he's taking care of me, which is awesome. He took me out shooting Sunday, and we got my sight tape on, and I am dialed, man. I need to get some reps in, but I was hitting the target, or I should say, I think I hit a couple inside, like, the 10 ring, but at 50 yards. So I'm pretty dialed. I need to get way more comfortable and probably never shoot anything over 30, but, I mean, man, I'm pretty pumped for it. I want to maybe get in the league this winter and just really get some reps in and learn everything I can to get it dialed in.
And it's all muscle memory and consistency. If you can knock those down, you're good. Especially if you're hitting 10 ringers at 50. I mean, if you're shooting a palm-sized groove, you got to remember the stuff you're aiming at. It's like an 8 to 12-inch kill circle. So as long as you hit a paper plate, it's a full freezer.
Yep, and, you know, it's funny you say it that way because there was a couple times that the group wasn't that tight, but there would be, you know, I'd shoot six arrows and two sets of them would be on top of each other, and then, you know, the other two arrows would be 6 inches away from them, and I'm looking at it going, you know, these are still all within the tolerance of hitting an animal where I'd want, you know, it's really cool. I'm so excited I got it. I'm really glad. It was a good purchase.
I'm glad you're in the phase that I used to be in and enjoy, I don't know, probably 10, 12 years ago when I first really got into archery. It's an awesome hobby, awesome way to hunt. The possibilities are endless with customizing your setup. And, you know, it's you versus the bow, so, or you versus yourself, really. You got to dial it in as much as you can, and that's what makes you a good archer. But I'm lazy now. I shoot a crossbow, so I'm not mad about it, because there's been many times I've not been able to get a deer because I'm holding a bow and I can't bend around the tree or can't get it out of the blind or whatever, but I'm not hunting for sport anymore. Not at this point in my life. I got too much crap going on, too much obligation that I can't spend enough time in the woods, so I need to go out there and make a count.
Absolutely, I get that. I mean, it is, even me, like, everyone's asking, oh, you're going to hunt this year with it? And I don't think I have enough reps in to be comfortable shooting it, you know, but also, I'm looking at it going, how in the world am I going to find time to do this? Now, that being said, the one good thing is archery season is before the time change. So I could theoretically get out after work, which once you get to gun season, I do not have that ability. So, you know, I may get out and sit a time or two this year, and if something like wildly great presents itself, take it. But it's more just to sit in the woods.
I'm finally back. We were worried about you. I know. Anyhow. And no, I didn't do the Starbucks. I'm doing that right now. But anywho, I won't, let me, give me a round to figure out where we're at. Yeah, Andy, that's the way to do it, man. If you could sneak out after work for a bit, and, I mean, you really only need to sit for an hour and a half, 2 hours, as long as you got a place to go. The problem with you is where you're at. You don't really have anywhere to hunt. So you got to either go downriver or up here, which is not, although if you're in Troy, I guess it's not that bad to get out here. As far as hunting with the bow this year, how are you when you got a deer in your crosshairs? Do you get a little... You get a little heart rate going, or are you cool, calm, cool, and collected?
You know, that one that I got last year, I was surprisingly calm and cool and collected. But I would imagine with a bow, it would be less. I'm far more comfortable with a gun and have absolutely way more experience with that. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I can get out to my buddy's houses. You know, in Ray, and after work and sit. They'd be happy to have me and then have a couple beers afterwards.
That's pretty funny. Guy hands me my coffee. He goes, oh, he goes, it's the radio guy. You're Starbucks famous.
Hey, guys, I'm going to pump gas real quick, and then I'll hop back in. If you guys are still out there, it's closing in on time for you gentlemen to get into the office, but I'll be back in a second.
Okay, we'll see you in a bit. You know, archery is the one thing I never did more than recreationally. I was okay, but I never fired under pressure or anything like that, so who knows how I would have done. I know how I am, firearm, and I'm a heart pounder. It's my heart gets pounding, when I've got one in the crosshairs. I don't know how that would have affected me for archery, because I never really bow hunted. With bow hunting, it's definitely different. It's way more intimate. You're obviously way closer to the animal. I mean, sometimes inside 20 yards. So, I mean, you can almost smell the animal. So, yeah, it's a little different. If you're if you get a little excited looking at a deer with a rifle in your hand, you're definitely going to get excited when you're drawing a bow back. Because that's the other thing, too, right? With a rifle, you're flipping a safety off and you're pulling a trigger. With a bow, there's so many other steps involved to make sure that draw is perfect and you're doing everything you're supposed to do that you're going to actually take that animal cleanly. There's more to it, for sure. Yeah, it's probably why I never tried it, just because, I knew it was a bigger commitment, to the clean kill. I never really, really felt my skills were up enough to, to do it justice, so, but, it seems like it was a lot different too when back then. This nowadays it seems like I can't even keep track of all the different seasons and rules and doe permits and multiple, tags and stuff like that. It just like makes my head spin. Yeah, it's like they keep amending the season and the permits. So now, basically, from September 21st to 22nd, early go, then firearm. And then archery opens October 1st and goes until November 15th. I don't think it closes down. It might. But then there's November 15th until, it's only like 2 or 3 weeks, and then there's a no-gun week or some crap, and then it goes into muzzleloader season, but down here you can use straight wall. And then it goes into late antlerless firearm, and then late archery. Yeah, basically you can hunt in southeastern Michigan on private land from October 1st till basically the end of January. So November 15th has always been the classic firearm deer, right? But I thought I heard you say something about, and I know about the straight wall and the muzzle loader, you said something else, that there's some firearm allowed before the 15th, November 15th? Yeah, so every year they have early doe, or early antlerless, they call it, which is, I think it's the weekend after the Liberty Youth Hunt. So there's September 21st and 22nd, you can go out with a rifle or a straight wall down here, and you can shoot a doe, which I've done many times because it's super convenient to have my freezer full before the season starts. All right, yeah, okay. Did not know that. That's what I mean, it's just confusing. All right, I just pulled up here, I got to get inside. I'll have the radio on, but I think you'll be destinated before I have a chance to jump back in. W8FU. Yep, I'm a mile out, so maybe I'll catch you in the afternoon. NADBF. Anthony, I'm still here for a minute if you're listening.
Hey, I'll cut you loose, too. I just got back in my car from getting gas, and I will maybe catch up with you gentlemen later this afternoon. K-8-R-U-H.
Sounds good. N-A-D-D-F.
Okay, I'll take a look at that later. Hang on, I'm try it again. Okay, I was just saying that Autumn's mother has passed away. I don't know if you have been aware of my pattern.
Okay, good to know. And I know James's mother passed away also yesterday, so that's two. Go ahead, Lance. KKKTO.
Yes, I hear that. My aunt passed away a few months ago, and my dad just spread her ashes this weekend up at their cottage in the UP, so. Not this weekend, but next weekend we have her funeral.
That was your mother, Lance, or your wife's mother? I'm sorry I didn't catch all of that. My ears are kind of blocked today. As you can tell, I'm kind of stuffed.
No, that was my aunt. She had lung cancer. July, they did a welfare check, and she had passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear about Autumn, Dave, and James's mom. You know, I heard about James yesterday, and now Autumn. And Lance, Dave works with me, that's WARIT. So, and Autumn is our installation manager, and then, you know, she's very close with her mom, so I know she's really torn up about it.
Yeah, I was not aware that Dave's mother has passed away too as well, so. Yeah, that's not concerning to hear. Dave, I'm going to come back out here with you guys. Carry on. I'm going to be right here.
Get that mic fixed. Drill a hole in it. 73KCKTO. Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah, I don't know what radio that is. Some of them have a game control in the menu. Crank up the audio gain. Yeah, it's going definitely light.
Sean and Wally said, hey, you know, you sound kind of tinny. So when I got a chance, I went in the office and I tore my mic apart and I made the mic hole a little bit bigger for the channel. Kind of made it about the size of the actual channel itself. You know, the little rubber channel that's in there. And so far, they said, you know, sounds better than what it was.
Do that on the radio, especially the dial things and whatnot. The dial thing I had was the UV5R plus 2 or something, or V2 plus or something like that. It was, I don't know what was different about it, but it was a little bit more money. And I don't know, like, the only thing people complained about was it sounded like the dial thing.
Yeah, I got a UV, I got a UV5R and I got a UV5R Plus. I use the Baofeng now strictly for wind leak and wind leak packet. Oh, somebody's calling me. I'll be back. KKKJO.
WDAKLL.
KSA-DIC.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, good morning. How you doing this morning?
Yeah, a little bit sore this morning, but after I got my shot yesterday, but all's well.
That's good. Another sunny day, beautiful day out there, and I heard it's going to be in the 80s.
Yeah, that's for sure. What was your answer today? I missed it.
The answer was, you have one dog, too. He's just kidding. Yeah, I know you got to take care of that one plant and all that. And have a good day. That's what he said.
Yeah. What, how many plants did you say you had?
That's all I have, one, and I have to take care of it, take it outside in the summer, bring it in, wash it, clean it, and all that stuff. Shine it, too.
Okay, yeah, I missed it. Doggone it. All right, well, any plans today?
Right now, no. I haven't had a coffee yet. I just woke up about an hour ago. I had to circle around and see what it looked like outside. And that grass getting it dry a little bit because there's no rain. So maybe later on, I got to go out there and feed up that grass.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, it's all... Oh, good up here right now. Our grass is nice and green and got it mowed, so we're all good here for sure.
Well, good talking to you, Greg. We'll talk again. Anyway, I got to get me some coffee. I haven't woke up yet. Woke up and brew this morning. All right. Take care. KFADIC.
All right, Jack, we'll talk at you later. WDAKL will be clear.
Northern Hub connected
to UHF Hub.
WFSM test.
Northern Hub, disconnected.
Radios you got in that work truck? KF8CW.
I got my 2-meter that I'm talking on now. Then I have Motorola DMR, UHF DMRS, and then I'm playing with UHF VHD25 that's sitting on my seat. but four antennas on the roof because I got a P25 scanner up there.
And my wife thinks I'm bad, and my boss, because he comes by, he sees me, I'm listening to DMR, I'm listening to, of course, this, and I'm listening to P25. He thinks I'm just nuts.
Well, I can listen to three conversations simultaneously on three different radios, including listening to my satellite radio as I'm driving.
Well, I don't do that in a vehicle anymore. I have one radio and my stereo, but back in the day I had a business band, a CB radio, and the stereo going, and it used to give my wife a headache. But, yeah, no, I'm just curious because I just heard you on all three of them.
Yes, sir. Three radios, three conversations. All depends on which one's squawking away is which mic I grab.
Now the real question, have you ever grabbed the wrong mic? I know I did back in the day.
No.
You're a better man than me. Alright, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Anyways, I'm just taking lunch at my workbench. Have a good afternoon, drive safely, and enjoy the beautiful weather outside. KF8, CWF, I'll be standing by.
Yeah, I'm going to the, what I call going to the lakes, Pontiac Trail, making my way to Pontiac. Go help out a co-worker to get something taken care of. Enjoy your lunch. I'll be here as usual. KFK Joe.
KF8PPZ to KDA KJO. Still listening, Tom?
Yes, I am. Still here.
Good deal. Cliff here at this end. I think I heard you the other morning last week. You were saying something about looking for a GMRS radio for one of your coworkers.
I have a TMG9600 right now that I'm letting him use because it's got a little bit more juice in it. And I have it actually GMRS right now for him.
Whoa, that was a close one. Someone coming up behind me, like, didn't realize I was slowing down. I just almost got rear-ended. But I didn't. We're all cool. Everything's good. No, I was just, I've got a MXT275 sitting at the house that I no longer need that I got up for sale. I've got it, everything, including all the screws that went with it, the box, the owner's manual, and I bought a 10-foot mic extension cord for it as well. So, you know, if there's anybody out there who was looking for a radio in GMRS, I've got one ready to go.
Yeah, do me a favor, go to QRZ and my email there, and then send me all the information on it. I'm also on Discord and Facebook if you find me.
All right, copy that. I'll do that when I get home. I'm out mobiling like you are. I'm doing DoorDash right now, making a few bucks to buy some more radios with.
I know DoorDash. I fix those DoorDashes.
Yeah, copy that. Like I said, I just do this to make some extra money. The pension and all that stuff pays the bills. You know, this just gets me my toy money.
Good.
Yeah, but anyways, with that, yeah, I'll get over to QRZ and shoot you an email and give you the particulars on it. I only use the thing for, like, you know, 3-4 months before I punched my hand ticket and pulled it back out of my truck. It is basically in, like, new condition. But, yeah, I'll shoot you an email, and I'm getting close to where I got to make my drop, so I'm going to say 73 for now. Keep you safe out there driving, and have a good afternoon. KF8, GTZ, sit on monitoring after your finals.
You do the same, sir. Stay safe out there driving. I know how crazy it is being a dasher. 73 for now, KGO, clear monitoring.
DPZ with a public service announcement. Anybody driving around in Macomb County, if you're on Garfield, north of 17, Wyandotte Middle School is in police lockdown. There's a heavy police presence there. W8FU.
Did you help Deb today?
I don't know. I sent my guys out there. I diverted them from another job to go take a look at it, so that's as good as I can do.
Yeah, that's good. She seemed satisfied.
Did she light up a cigarette after being with me?
I thought she might.
Well, there you go. So anyhow, yeah, I don't know how much you were brought into that or whether they talked to you at all about it or whatnot, but this company called DLI, something Digital Logger Incorporated or something, and it has a server, and the server runs the web client that they log into, and it directly interfaces with, you know, through USB audio to the login recorder. It was all purchased by you guys, but somehow Mickey got pulled into getting it working. So now we own it. Lesson learned.
Yeah, so they don't understand. What's your involvement with it?
We had a little bit of experience with that product at a couple of locations. A little different, but when Deb's predecessor sold that, he bought it, sold it to him, and they were having some trouble figuring out what had to be done or how that got, what was supposed to happen or how it was going to get hooked up. And I think Mickey just kind of got frustrated and said, "Get out of my way," and got it all running.
Okay. Alrighty then. I'm just about home now. So, probably going to go out on the boat today.
There you go. We were short today, and people were all over, and things were happening, and tomorrow I'm in Lansing all day, so I'm hoping, you know, that leaves me potentially Thursday and Friday to go see my buddy. It's on my radar as soon as possible. But, man, this week's just gobbling up fast.
Yeah, it's always shocking how fast it goes. All right, I'm pulling in the driveway. Catch you later. ABAP here.
Okie dokie. W8FU. 18 Kelly.
KKO, KCKOE, 94, and I want to say just past underneath, just before Metro Parkway.
I'm at Maple and Southfield right now, in Birmingham.
Copy. I just passed out of one taxpayer deposit zone, and I think I'm heading into another one, but I'm not 100% sure.
What tower are you on? The UMP?
I'm on the 2.6, copy.
Alright, you're on the Warren repeater. And you're at what? 94 and where?
Warren, Central City Parkway. I mean Metro Parkway. Exit 236.
There's a Mount Clemens repeater right there. Do you have that one in your radio?
I'm not 100% sure I might.
Yeah, it should be 443.625 with the PL151.4, I believe.
Okay, yeah, I think that's the game. All right, yeah, I think I got that one.
Because you're a little bit scratchy. I'm on the LPS repeater out of Detroit, Birmingham.
Roger. Copy, yep. The 2.175.
Correct.
You need a second lane switch over, KCGOE.
Chile. That's better, KJO. Oh, you got a call just close to mine. You must have got yours, what, your ticket in, what, 98, 99?
My original ticket in 2000. The original call was KC8OGG, but I changed it to JOE because my name is Joe. Roger.
Gotcha. My name isn't Roger, though, it's Tom. Tango Oscar Mike, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. KCHJOE, Kilo Charlie 8, Juliet Oscar. Juliet Oscar Echo. Numer is Joe. Again, Tom, thank you. Yeah, I'm just driving along now. It's finally broke up. I guess it was traffic for absolutely no reason.
That's how it always is right there around Metro Parkway. It kind of bogs down. You get to, like, South River Road, and then it picks up a little bit. You get the whole road, and then it bogs down again.
Roger. Roger. Yeah, I'm heading up the Fort Huron. I made the goofy mistake thinking that maybe I could do something with 696. That it was incorrect. Ended up curving way south to turn back north. It made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because 696 is closed down, so they force you onto the lodge. You got to take the lodge all the way down to 94 or to 75 to go back up north to go to 696 east, or take the lodge to 75 to 94, take 94 east. Yeah, it's kind of goofy. Where are you coming from?
California. I was near 6 Mile on T-75, so I figured that it might have been easier, and I forgot that it wasn't. But yeah, I'm coming from Livonia.
I would have just taken Hagerty all the way to Pontiac Lake and gone through and then hit M-59 East. I mean, it's still congested on 59, but based on going to go way south, you're actually going north, northeast, or northwest, and then get on the whole road. That would have been the better way. I'm coming from, where am I coming from? I gotta think.
Hey, Roger. Yeah, I understand. I don't know.
in the 46 years, or 47 years I've been alive, I don't know if they've ever not been doing construction on 696. Literally. Since it opened. Whenever it was it opened, since I can remember. Construction.
696 between I-75 and Telegraph Lodge, Northwestern Highway. It opened in, what, 1989? Yeah, it opened up just after I came back to Michigan from California. So, but I remember it being closed and having to take 12 mile all the way up to Franklin to, for training and stuff like that.
Roger. I think it's only, I literally think in the history of its existence, it's only been open, truly open for a couple of years, and then construction on one end or the other.
Oh, yeah. I can believe it. I remember it being, yeah, it's been on and off in construction for years, but they've never shut down the entire portion of it, except for last year and this year. You know, last year westbound, this year eastbound. Besides that, they had at least one lane open. You know, but they're, I don't know what they're doing. They're doing a complete rebuild. I mean, it's 30-some-odd years old. Why not?
Yeah, maybe they need it. Sure, some of the bridges do. What was it? There was a bridge inspector. He got fired, and I think he went to jail, too. Because he was signing off on bridges that were so far gone what they should have been, it wasn't funny. It was pretty bad. In Hines Park, there's one bridge that was so bad they had to tear the whole bridge out. I think it was the Merriman Road Bridge.
I think you're right. Oh, be right back. Got a phone call. KCKKO.
KCKKO, KCKO. Not going anywhere fast.
Alright, I'm back. KCKKO.
KCKKO, KCKO. Yeah, I'm just, my concern is once I get up there, they're doing some work at the bottom of the Blue Water Bridge, and they've got a bunch of exits closed off, and I think they got the exit that I wanted to take closed off. And the traffic just spans, like, literally all the way, like, sometimes it comes all the way out and around onto 94.
Okay, question is, where are you going in Port Huron?
Walnut Street, just under the bridge.
Water Street?
It's native, Walnut. It's off of just off of Hancock.
All right, then get off on the Gratiot exit from 94. Which is just after the Wadhams exit going towards Port Huron. Get up on Gratiot and turn right and take that onto Electric Avenue and stay in the left lane until you get to 10th Street. When you get to 10th Street, I think that should be open. And turn left on 10th Street, and that'll take you right into Port Huron, right by the bridge.
That's what I usually do. I got lucky the last time Water Street was open, but yeah, it, like I said, the bridge traffic's too tight. It makes sense to get off on Gratiot.
Yeah, that's the way I go, is I get off on the Gratiot exit and then just turn right and go past through Marysville till I get to clear left and get to 10th Street. And then I take 10th Street into Water Street, and that way right there to 24.
Roger. So in one of the last places I went before I left, trying to find my cousin's address, it should have been saved into the phone, but apparently it's not. But it shows ITW shaker proof. That was one of the last places I went with the Panther.
So he lives in Port Huron, your cousin, I take it? KCHL for ID.
KCHL, yes, he lives in Port Huron. It's right there underneath the bridge, basically. You can actually walk out of his backyard, look up and see it.
Well, that's a different view. At least you get shade at least once a day.
Roger. And, like, just about a mile and a half, you can kind of skate your way down, maybe 2 miles, and there's a nice little park down there. There's the lightship, which is kind of cool, the old Huron.
I think there's an amateur radio club that transmits out of the Huron lightship.
I want to say that he actually runs the boat, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I haven't been to that. I haven't actually gone to the lightship yet, but I definitely it's going to be on my bucket list.
Sure. One of their original receivers, or transceivers, which has got to be from right around the World War II era, or maybe it's a place for Korea. It's a big, huge tube unit. I think they used that for CW, but for voice, they use a nice, I think it's an Icon.
And you know more than I do. I haven't been on the light ship, but I'd really like to check out the radio room.
Pretty cool. They kind of don't let you get. They kind of don't let you get too close.
Well, yeah, they don't want anybody playing with a radio that's, you know, what, 80 years old.
Roger. And the modern Icon, they probably. I'm sure they want people playing with that, because I think that would be pretty expensive to replace, too. I mean, it's not super new, but it's way more modern than the ship's original, Roger. I mean, sorry. It's a lot newer there, Tom. It's probably 25 years old, as opposed to 70 or 80.
Well, I don't doubt it. But still, like you said, they don't want anybody to get close to it, because it's still an older radio.
Yeah, it definitely is. There's a lot of cool to it, though. I want to take a good part of it. It's got some pretty decent 671 Detroit's in it, and then it's got 271 generators. It's kind of neat.
I want to switch towers again and go over to Richmond 225 if you got it in your radio.
Yeah, I do, KCHLE.
Yeah, that's better, KCHL. I think Richmond should get you out to Port Huron. I'm staying at the Marine City, so I know it's got a pretty far reach for the Richmond Tower.
That's cool. Yeah, I think my buddy that owns the junkyard that'll be visiting later this evening, his girlfriend lives in Richmond.
Yeah, I live just north of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind living up this way. I probably like being out here much more than where I'm at now, but finding employment would be the problem.
What, selling your house in Livonia, moving out to Richmond?
Copy, either Richmond or Port Huron.
I live 10 miles, 10 minutes north of Richmond. I live in Memphis.
Copy. Yeah, I like more rural myself. I like small town. I mean, Livonia's not bad, but when I say small town, I like smaller towns.
Well, Memphis is a small town. It's only 1 square mile, and it's split between St. Clair and Macomb counties. And there's only like 1,200 residents in the whole town.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That you know, between that, like, between 12 and me, 7,500, 8,000 at the most. That'd be really nice.
Well, I've lived in Romeo, I've lived in Mount Clemens, I've lived in Sterling Heights, lived in Marysville for a short stint, and ended up settling down in Memphis and love it. It is quiet. I can sit in my backyard and stare at the sky and see stars and not city lights. It makes me a happy camper.
That's exactly what I eventually want when I retire. I want to be able to look at the sky and see stars instead of light pollution. I want to be able to put up a tower and not have anybody say anything about it or have to ask neighbors permission or get a city government worker to come out there and look at the blueprints, give them an engineer draw blueprints, and have a city worker sign off on it. No, I want to just be able to put it up.
That'd be like Riley Township. My coworker lives in Riley. He's like 5 minutes from my house off the dirt road. He's got 2.5 acres, and he can put one right in the middle of his yard if he wants. Memphis, there isn't an ordinance for ham antennas.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, it would be done right. I just don't see why you need to spend thousands of dollars on a tower and then thousands more on an engineer.
Well, you can put up a crank up. That way, when you're not using it, you crank it up, use it, and you bring it back down. You can do that.
Yeah. KCHLE. Yeah, that's true. Very true. As a matter of fact, I don't think those actually require the special engineering thing. Or they might require a permit, but it's not nearly as stringent.
Check your city ordinance and check your HOA bylaws.
Lucky there, we don't have an HOA yet. There's been people that have been trying for years in their subdivision, and most of the neighbors said if it ever came down to it and we ever ended up with an HOA, they just move out. Like, I'm not paying taxes on my property twice.
100% agree. I live in a little farmhouse, two-story. I'm on a quarter acre of land, have a nice backyard, dogs run around it, it's fenced, and then I got great neighbors all around me, and it's quiet, so if I want to put a 30-foot tower off the back of my house, I can. Just follow the television antenna ordinance is what it would be, and I think a maximum is 30 feet. KCHO Freddy.
Yeah, I don't need anything higher than that. That'd be perfect. And, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, another nice thing is interference is just a lot less. Except when you're talking about listening to your, you know, your cell phone's charger, you'll hear that, but you don't have to worry about your neighbor's dirty Wi-Fi or your dirty Wi-Fi. Probably what I would do is I'd probably get some sort of satellite internet, or if I was in a small town that actually had a cable company, cable internet, but I'd probably have everything in the house hardwired to try and cut down on the noise.
Well, I have Frontier DSL, and the only thing that's Wi-Fi in the house are the phones and one printer. Everything else, I got Cat5 connections to. I got 2 switches. One in my front room where my printers and my file server's at. And then I got a Cat5 running to another switch behind my TV for my television and for my satellite box and for my open spot for DMR.
TMRIs or any UHF distance records.
Yeah, I don't know if the LPS repeater reaches out that far. And as I said, Richmond is like the northernmost repeater that I can think of for UHF.
Yeah, the other ones are all Port Huron stuff. I don't think I have any Port Huron programmed into this radio. I programmed this radio long before I knew that I was going to start coming up here.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't think there's a linked repeater for Port Huron for Central Michigan network. Richmond, I think, as it is the farthest one I know for the FBI repeater that's linked to Central Michigan.
You know, I got gotten off my job. That was taking me right to the junkyard. And then from there, I got to stop and program my cousin's house.
Well, once you get off on grass, you can do that when you went to the Myers gas station or something like that.
Copy. Now, let's see.
Looks like I think 271 is the next one. Actually, the Wadhams Road exit, and right after that is the Gratiot exit for Marysville. They call it the Marysville exit.
This little radio isn't breaking any records either. It's a the radio out of the DD25C, it's a little 25 watt DMI radio.
And well, it does the trick. This is an Olenco DR735T. I got 50 UHF, 50 VHF. And I'm still bouncing off the LTS in Detroit.
Very nice. Yeah, that's a great radio. I used to like illegal products. I like super expensive as compared to like ICOM or EZU.
Well, this one is just analog. This one's VHF, UHF analog. And then I got a Motorola XDR4550 for UHF and DMR.
Okay, that sounds cool. I got a 7550 handle with me right now. And since I got a little hot spot, I get on a nice little box with CBS or 2021.
Hey, ABM, honey.
Hey, Tom, I'm over here right now in AWRO.
Oh, okay. I'm over here now, too. I'm on the UMP.
I'm over here now, too. Hey, too many radios here, man.
It keeps the energy clean. Who wants to get out there?
Foo. The man himself, Sean.
Oh, it sounded like it.
Did you just assume my gender?
No, we just know you as W8FU.
Okay, you said the man himself. I said, how does he know? Anyhow, I gotta get gas here.
I got that earlier, and I used the Upside app, and I got like $2 back.
I'm waiting to turn in here, but I'm trying to get this. I'm getting a BP card to let me use all BPs and Amacos, and they got a really good introductory offer, like 50 cents a gallon off. Then after that, it's pretty much on par with the big warehouse clubs. So and then I don't have to be a member. All right, I'll let you guys get back to it. I'll be back in here in just a moment after I put a few bucks in. W8FU. Tim?
Dave's on the other one talking to his pops, and I think I'm going to try to make that St. Clair County net. But you know that Alpha 3 is not at the airport. It's up closer to Port Huron. So this will be interesting. 146.72.
Isn't that the Bell River repeater?
No, this one's Alpha 3. The Bell River is, 14732. But this one, tonight, 7 p.m., St. Clair County, ARPSC net should be on 146.72. They call that their Alpha 3. I thought it was at the airport, but apparently it's just north of 69, west of Port Huron. So I'm going to give it a shot, 7 o'clock.
All right, what's the PL on it?
The PL tone is 186.2, 186.2. It is a negative 0.6 offset.
You said 146.72?
Correct, 146.72 for the frequency. And hey, Tom, I got a phone call. I got to jump out for a bit in AWRO.
Oh, you sound beautiful today. You must be at home, KCKQ.
Yeah, I'm Holly, so real close to the repeater. I'm on an HD.
Oh, you sound a lot louder than usually when you're on the road. You seem kind of a little bit distance, like a little bit more quiet. But here, you're clear as a bell.
Yeah, well, my XTS-5K, so probably sound a little bit different than the mobile radio.
Yeah, way different. I probably sound the same. Can you easily and correctly?
Yeah, I don't know. Even the receive sounds a little clearer on this radio.
Same radio. It all depends on how far away I hold the mic, I guess. I've got my computer in my truck.
No, I don't.
I'm seeing on my end, just the receive sounds better than the mobile.
Oh my God, was I in the most ridiculous gas station ever, as far as size.
Too big or too small?
Tiny, I mean, there's no room to move, maneuver, and it felt like everywhere you went in the parking lot, around the pumps, you know, you were just about getting smashed into. It's just this tiny, tiny little gas station lot right on the corner of 15 and Ryan. And there's at least three times while I was in there, I thought I was about a coat of paint away from getting hit.
Oh, I've been to that one. Yeah, that one's crazy.
We got gas yesterday, and there's a Great Dane roaming the lot just with no leash. Just must have hopped out of somebody's car.
I just been filling up at whatever, wherever, you know, just, I put 20 bucks in. I put 20 bucks in because I thought I'd already have my card for the BP deal I was going to sign up for. So I just said, well, I'll just put 20 bucks in. And then I just had to put 20 in again. You know, and I said, I'm waiting for my card, you know. I don't want to fill up at, you know, 3.09 when I've got, you know, 50 cents off a gallon in a day or two. That card should be here any day.
Coyote come jumping into your shop. If we did, that was ridiculous. Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah, those Great Danes are quite a big dog, so it was like having a loose horse there around the gas station.
He's got a Great Dane.
Three labs for the night at my brother's house.
Those you're talking about them.
Yeah, they're growing at the six deer in the front yard.
You're barking the airplane and going over the house or the helicopters like money do.
I got a 20-pound Chihuahua mix. It's the only dog we have right now. Yeah, you know, I let him out yesterday, and I got a doe with some fawns living in the yard, living in the back 40, and Mama was out there sunning, and she's pretty chill. You know, she'll see me, and she'll hardly run. She kind of sits there and watches me, but my little turd, he goes after her, like, you know, with the hackles up and all this. I'm like, would you cut it out? She didn't even flinch, but I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
Oh, my pet black lab. She's 6 pounds, so she's a big girl. She's muscle. No brain, but muscle. Then I got a 30 or about a 40 pounds.
Face, you big disgrace.
Don't make me laugh, Sean. I'm going to cough up a lung here. You know.
the alternate. Instead of we will rock you, we will. I'm trying to think of something that works with a dog in your face. But I don't know. I'm not on my game.
A dog in your face with a slobbering grace.
Good thing we can't see anyway. Anything, that's not allowed on amateur radio.
Oh, I lost part of that. I need to switch over to Warren for a minute.
I said it's a good thing we can't sing, because that's not allowed in amateur radio.
Yeah. Okay, that's the key to sing. Well, properly.
I'm here, but it's probably just better to be listening.
I'm at the drive-thru back in a minute. W8FU. Okay, this was the most difficult chow run I've made recently. I went to a regular restaurant the other day, and I was like, boom, boom, in and out so fast, and I didn't even order in advance. I had to actually order when I got there. But this one was all sorts of messed up. But I'm finally on my way home.
Well, there you go. I'm on my way home, too. I'm at, what, North 29 Mile Road? Yeah, that's where I'm at. I had to stop over at my brother-in-law's and pick up a part that I need for Grand Rapids.
Is this where you gotta go tomorrow?
No, Thursday. Doing it Thursday. As long as the chief of security at the attorney's office says, yeah, Thursday is fine. I'm going to go on his schedule, not mine.
Well, I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to be just like Tom tomorrow. I've got to go to Lansing. Well, I'll take 696 out because it's open. And I got to be out there at 2, so I'll be leaving around noonish. Give myself a little push. It should be smooth sailing, but coming home, it's going to be a nightmare. Bad traffic, 696 eastbound shutdown. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm half tempted to do the 69 route and down. I don't know. Play it by ear.
That's the way that I would go. So if you're going after, well, if you're leaving from the home base, then you can take 696 to 96 to Lansing. Go up 196 over to probably where you need to go. And but coming home, I would definitely go north to 69 to 75 south, and then drop you right off at 12 Mile. That would be the route I would go. Because there is construction northbound on 75, but coming southbound, it's a lot quicker. That way you don't have to go all the way down to Detroit to come all the way up. So yeah, 75 to 696, 96 into Lansing, and then the reverse, I go north of town and then come to Flint. Way faster. GCKJ.
Yep, the problem is I'm going to be in Diamonddale. So I'm going to be south, kind of like, it's kind of like east-west, it's kind of midway. It's right where it starts. You know how as you, on 96, you're going underneath Lansing, and then it kind of hooks north for a bit before it heads out of Lansing? I'll be right there where it starts to hook north, just off the freeway. So I don't know if they'll still want to take me I don't know. I'll see what the GPS says when I leave tomorrow. But there's almost no circumstance where 69 would be at least equal to, at best. I think taking the regular Route 96 with the closures, we'll play it by ear.
Well, if you get done early enough, you want to delay a little bit of traffic, check out the Peanut Shop right there downtown. It's right down the street from the Capitol. Fresh roasted peanuts, walnuts. Oh, it's great. You got to check it out.
Yeah, you told me about that. Let's see here. Road closed to through traffic, but I'm not going through. I just got to get to that street right there. There we go. Booyah! Successfully navigated the closed traffic in my subdivision, the closed roads. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to look that up. Maybe go by there. Well, it depends on the time. Maybe I'll go early. Then I'd be more likely to go, because I'll tell you what, I get out of that meeting out there and it's already 4 at the earliest, and I know I'm faced with, you know, traffic and a couple hours drive, and I just, last thing I want to do is go out of my way. So maybe if I go early, go there first.
If you do that, then the roasted peanuts are literally still warm, and they just open it up right there. I mean, they roast them right there in the store. So yes, go early, get some fresh peanuts in the shell, and check out everything else. They have cashews the size of your thumb.
Okay, I'm here, so just give me the name of that. I'll look it up when I get inside and catch you in a bit. W8FU.
Enjoy your takeout. Send me a drink, KJKJO, and I'll text you the link. NXWRO, KJKJO. Can you still out there for a quick second?
guy, AJ.
Thank you.